Welcome to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. We examine things like the minds of entrepreneurs, emerging trends, financing, marketing, unique ideas, big business moves that could affect small businesses, even how to get started on your own. Today's stories: time off for employees grieving the loss of a pet, freelancers versus employees classifying workers in the on-demand economy, and how a veteran launched a nonprofit. Those stories after this.
Do you want to learn how to mask your identity to browse inappropriate websites and stream media while at the office?
Well, we can't help you with that. But among the many IT problems we solve, Barracuda's web security solutions keep online activity clean and ensure internet bandwidth performance. Reclaim your network, like 150,000 other businesses already have. To learn more about preventing web-based threats, visit barracuda.com/web.
Family leave laws, as you know, don't provide time off for a pet's sickness or death, but should they? If you've lost a cat or dog, you know the pain. But some employers, both large and small, wonder where they would draw the line. If you grant leave after the death of a dog, what about a fish? Our Jennifer Kashenka explores.
If you're a pet owner, you may know the grief of losing a pet. If you're not, you may not get what all the fuss is about. Here to talk to us about the challenges of grieving for a pet at work is Sue Schellenbarger of the Wall Street Journal. Sue, can the grief of losing a pet be equated to other kinds of grief?
It can. Research shows that about 1 in 5 pet lovers do experience some of the same symptoms at the death of their pet as they would if they had lost a human relative. And about 1 in 3 say it lasts 6 months or more.
Do people ask for time off or need time off to grieve their pets?
Well, they do need time off. People who counsel them say they need a few days to a week. Many don't ask. They're either embarrassed that the coworkers will roll their eyes, or else they're afraid of losing control emotionally if they even bring the subject up at work.
So do you think they make up other excuses to take time off?
Absolutely. Many say, oh, I'm taking a sick day, or I have, you know, some business to do. They just don't feel they're able to go to work. And interestingly, some employers grant time off kind of quietly for pet bereavement the same way. They just say, you know, take whatever you need, take a few days under personal time off policies.
What are some of those companies, Sue, and how does that work?
Mars Inc., the big candy and pet food company, has some units that give 1 or more days time off for bereavement. VMware, Maxwell Health, Replacements are very pet friendly companies that simply allow employees openly to take time off, very pet friendly, and they use vacation time or personal time off.
Do you see this as a growing trend? I mean, we are spending billions of dollars on our pets in this country.
We are, and I think it's surfacing more in the workplace. I think people are feeling more able to talk about their love for their animals as more people own pets. And also, employers are joining the trend. They're trying to find ways to really connect with recruits and keep employees loyal. And so sometimes having a pet-friendly workplace is the way to do that.
Where do companies, though, draw the line? Are we talking about bereavement for just cats and dogs?
This is a kind of almost comical problem. Many employers don't have a pet bereavement policy for that reason. They're wondering, well, you know, what about a tank of fish? So I think that it can be a little vague. Companies do tend to favor dogs. There are some companies that only allow dogs, for example, to come to work. If you have a pet cobra next door at the desk, it might not be too friendly for some employees. So, yeah, that's another reason I think employers are a little wary.
All right, you're not a pet owner. How does this make you feel if you're seeing people taking time off for this?
Well, I think some people are a little incredulous, to be honest. They're like, what? Are you really taking time off for a pet? Those were some of the responses I got from people I interviewed. And I think that, you know, that it simply does divide the workplace. There's some people who care deeply and others who just don't get it, and never the twain shall meet. So there's a lot of eye rolling that goes on, and many pet owners just quash their feelings to avoid that kind of skepticism.
That's the Wall Street Journal's Sue Schellenbarger with our Jennifer Kashenka. Well, there's been a recent wave of lawsuits against startups that summon workers at the touch of an app. But one Boston lawyer has taken up a case that could send shockwaves throughout corporate America. Class action attorney Shannon Liss Reardon has filed suit against Uber, charging that the company illegally classifies its workers as freelancers rather than employees. Correspondent Dominic Savino recently spoke with Wall Street Journal reporter Lauren Weber about the case, and she said that the distinction is an important one for the rights of drivers that Uber employs.
The actual lawsuit that she filed suggests that the driver should be eligible for reimbursement of their expenses. In order to get that, they have to be classified as employees. Now, Uber and many other on-demand companies have chosen to classify their workers primarily as independent contractors. You know, what they say is that that provides a lot of flexibility to drivers. They can drive whenever they want. But on the other hand, they don't get expenses reimbursed. They don't get workers' compensation in case they have an injury on the job. So it's a huge issue, not just for the on-demand economy, but throughout. Companies can save a lot of money by classifying people as independent contractors. On the other hand, you know, in certain cases, they're really skirting the law, and there have been many lawsuits brought based on that allegation.
Wow. So then what is Uber saying in response to this lawsuit?
So Uber's argument is, look, we provide great flexibility to drivers. We, you know, like they're not employees. They have a tremendous amount of autonomy. And, you know, I think the implication being if Uber has to change their business model or their labor model, it will vastly sort of undermine the extremely profitable business that they've created. Now, Shannon Liss-Reardon, this lawyer, says, look, flexibility versus employment is a false choice. You know, there's no reason why Uber can't still offer drivers a lot of flexibility but still provide the protections of employment.
We're speaking with Lauren Weber. She's the careers and workplace reporter for the Wall Street Journal, and she's got a recent piece entitled Meet the Boston Lawyer Who's Putting Uber on Trial. Now, what would some of the effects be if Liss-Reardon is able to win this lawsuit here against Uber?
You know, I think the expectation is if Uber loses this case in a jury trial, and this case goes to trial next June, that will basically set a precedent for other companies that are following their labor model. Now, you know, Uber is valued at $51 billion right now. And so, you know, this is really a case that will set a precedent for a lot of other companies trying to get into that same market or use that same model. So the effects of this will be far-reaching. You know, it's very interesting. Uber is an interesting example, and so are the rest of the on-demand companies, because they provide a lot of flexibility and autonomy to workers. I think it's still a very open question how courts will apply the various tests of, you know, who is an employee or not.
That's our correspondent Dominic Savino with Wall Street Journal reporter Lauren Weber. Coming up next, how a veteran launched a nonprofit.
He's in the paint. Down by two. Can he do it? The ball is up. It's nothing but net. The crowd goes wild.
Hey, Greg. Waiting on your PC again.
Yep. Want a front row seat to the big game?
No, I'm good.
A workplace that doesn't work is anything but beautiful. Give your employees the power to do their best work and reduce downtime by 50% with new, powerfully performing Dell and Intel technology. Learn more at Dell.com/business.
Great story from the St. Cloud Times in Minnesota about a Marine Corvette who wanted to honor his fellow servicemen that didn't make it home alive. Seth Jordan returned from his third overseas combat tour in 5 years and founded Dog Tag Brewing, a veteran-run nonprofit organization that features a fallen American military member on every can. Mr. Jordan said Dog Tag's initial market run of its Pilsner and India Pale Ale is nearly out of stock, but the company is planning their next cans and negotiating with a major brewery for nationwide distribution of the Pilsner in 2016. The brewery featured a dozen families when it launched last year, but has now worked with more than 600. And it probably does not surprise you that Mr. Jordan, a self-proclaimed beer geek who's dabbled in homebrewing, personally speaks with each family that requests a can. All of Dog Tag's proceeds are donated to local remembrance projects, often the choice of families whose loved ones are featured on the cans. Again, the company is called Dog Tag Brewing. Reminder, by the way, you can get more small business reports on our website, which is thismorningwithgordondeal.com. And we encourage you to leave feedback on whatever podcast platform you use, like iTunes or SoundCloud. Reviews can help me determine what works and what doesn't. Also, if you'd like to share thoughts or ideas about your small business, shoot me an email, gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. thanks for listening to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal.